Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. Welcome. I am so excited to talk with all of you. You know, in my lifetime, and many of you saw my picture of me on my Harley Davidson once upon a time riding in a parade. Now, here's what I want to say about that. That will be one of the few times you would ever see me without a helmet on my motorcycle. It was posing for a picture. But today, I want to talk with you, millions of people suffering from traumatic brain injury each year in the United States. But there's new hope now. Dr. Huma Heder is joining me here today. This is an amazing journey from Pakistan to Texas, revolutionizing the diagnosis and treatment of TBI. Doctor, it's so great to have you here. I showed a picture of myself on my Harley Davidson the other day, and I got a lot of blowback from it because I did not have a helmet on. Now, I will tell you this, that is one of the few times I would not have a helmet on a motorcycle, just between you and me. I was literally posing for the picture, but something very serious. This is serious. And yet, once upon a time, there was no hope for this. Can you tell us what are most common causes? And what are you most hopeful about?
Vast majority of the patients who suffer TBI would go undiagnosed and they would go untreated. And as a result, they would appear to be physically fit, but they would be living with permanent brain injuries that were personal, professional, and social lives on a daily basis. But today we are fortunate to be living in this century that now we are raising the awareness about traumatic brain injury. And everyone from everyday American of screening the patients with traumatic brain injury and then providing them with immediate care of their symptoms and directing them for rehabilitative care. Along with education, along with awareness, then we are also fortunate to have advanced brain imaging techniques such as diffusion tensor imaging. Diffusion tensor imaging, or DTI, is an advanced brain imaging that has enabled us to see the damage that were not able to see before that. The first generation brain imaging techniques were not advanced enough. They were not sensitive enough to look at the damage that happens at the microscopic level. Too often, patients with true traumatic brain injury were erroneously dismissed because of negative CT or MRI scan. But now we have diffusion tensor imaging, which is crucial for a patient for a traumatic brain injury because it can clearly demonstrate that the damage exists and it is instrumental in providing the targeted treatment, rehabilitation, and future care needs for these patients.
You know, doctor, I want to ask you a question. I'm really struck by your personal journey. I'm really struck by what I like to think about is perseverance with passion. You know, you're a pioneer in a technique, a protocol. You've activated a 20-year-old imagery technology. We're talking a little bit about it today, really short interview. You are someone that we call a champion for those of us that don't even know what to fight for. You're that person. And I'm so blown away by your personal journey. Because whenever somebody like you or like me, we take on a life path, there's always an incredible story. What was it for you? What was it for you that motivated you to change the entire landscape of this for the rest of us?
Yes, it was something very personal. I was a very young doctor. I was in my training at that time. And back in 2010, my husband suffered a traumatic brain injury. And he had a motorcycle accident and he was wearing a helmet. He had all the protective gear on, yep. But unfortunately, he did not survive that accident. And after that, I just wanted to be around patients and treat the patient who had suffered a traumatic brain injury. That's why I went ahead and did my advanced training or fellowship training in neurological critical care. And when I was treating patients in neuro ICU, I further realized that many of these patients were discharged from hospitals and emergency departments with no real access to specialized outpatient care. And that was very much needed for the treatment and care of these patients. Seeing this, I decided to start my outpatient practice, which is now called National Brain Injury Institute, back in 2018. And since then, here at NBII, we are consistently striving to raise awareness on the chronic nature of this condition that impacts the personal, professional, and social aspects of patients on a daily basis.
I want to ask you this question. I know these are short interviews, but I really do want to ask you a little bit more about the diffusion tensor imaging and about this. We have seen in the headlines for a while the critical nature of sports and head injuries in sports. And then all of a sudden, doctor, it died down. You know, it was like there it was in the headlines and then it wasn't. But it didn't go away. And what I'm really fascinated by is what you're talking about. I'm so sorry to hear about your husband, because those of us that do wear helmets, when we get banged around a little bit, we don't think it seriously enough. And 9 times out of 10, even when we go get imagery or x-rays or whatever that is, things don't show up. So won't this now and what you're doing really shine a light on some of the injuries that are hidden in there and some of the side effects that just don't get picked up in time? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely. And let me first start explaining about the brain. The brain is like the consistency of an egg yolk or like a jelly-like material. And it's enclosed into this cranial walls or cranial cavity or the bone that is called the skull. So if any time the brain, which is a jelly-like material, it is thrown around or have jarring forces, or violent jolting of the brain inside the skull, there will be damage to the millions of neurons. There will be tearing and shearing of the millions of neurons and axons of the brain cell, and there will be also soft tissue damage to the brain cells. Yeah. And as a result of this damage is happening at the microscopic level. Right. So we're not able to see this damage in the MRI or in the CT scan. We need something much more advanced than MRI or CT scan to look at this microscopic damage. And that advanced imaging technique in diffusion tensor imaging. And this imaging technique has enabled us to see the damage that we were not able to see before. And too often, patients with true traumatic brain injury are erroneously dismissed because of negative MRI scans or negative CT scans. And it is very crucial to do a diffusion tensor imaging scan for patients or people who have suffered a traumatic brain injury, because it can clearly demonstrate that damage exists. And it is instrumental in providing the targeted treatment, rehabilitation, and the future care for the patients with TBI.
Yeah, I can't talk to you enough about how important this is. Before we run out of time, please tell people how they can find out more. Because one of the things I want to come back and talk to you about is the impact of this on children. But how can people find out more? Please give them your website. This is such an innovation and breakthrough.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you that with diffusion tensor imaging, as I said, we are able to look at the brain at the microscopic level. We are able to identify the damage that is happening at the microscopic level. We are able to demonstrate it, and we are able to make our treatment tailored according to the damage that we are looking inside the brain. People can go and get more information about us from our website, which is www.nationalnatiobii.com, or they can call us toll free at 866-983-3167.
And I want to, I want people to know this for a couple of reasons, doctor, and I know you've got to run. One of the reasons that I find it's most important is you have children, right? So you understand, we understand from our children and how active they are and what they're participating in. And they are in physical contact a lot. So this technology, this is something that people and parents and grandparents should be ultimately aware of, correct?
Absolutely. And as I said, the awareness starts at everyday American level, right?
Yeah.
We cannot just depend on medical providers that, okay, you know, when someone goes to the emergency room or when someone goes to urgent care or primary care doctor, they will be able to identify it. No, the awareness and the education starts at everyday American level. And that includes the parents of the children. That includes the friends and families. That includes the grandparents of the children. Mm-hmm. For them to screen their children or family members if they suspect a traumatic brain injury.
Right.
And then if they suspect a traumatic brain injury, then they are the ones that they first come in contact with such patients, and they should be able to direct them for appropriate care and treatment.
Thank you so very, very much. What you're doing is instrumental, but it's also innovative in changing the landscape to not just save lives, but to save the quality of life. Thank you so much for all that you do.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Let's take a short break. We'll be right back.
TransformationTalkRadio.com.
The Dr. Pat Show.
The Dr. Pat Show.
The Dr. Pat Show.
This is it. The energy of heart to heart, mind to mind, love to love. These are the questions that people have and rarely state. When we have an internal transformation and we see things differently, what does it mean to step into the full nature of being a spiritual being? How am I to be? This is it. Every day, you have to do something outrageously positive. It is so absolutely relevant because what I've seen in humanity, despite what's in the headlines, I'm so struck by the heroes that have come forward. I'm just absolutely in awe. The idea generators and superheroes. All of you, you are the best listening audience in the world, and we are bringing it in 2021.
You've been listening, but are you watching? Tune in to your favorite shows on the Transformation Talk Radio Facebook page. We stream live video podcasts every day.
Get empowered.
Hey, everybody, welcome. Welcome to the Good News segment. I love these interviews. I'm so excited to have Fred Litwin joining me here today, the author of several books. But this book in particular, I was really eager to talk with him about. All of us that have grown up in different parts of the 60s, and even if you haven't, you have had parents that talk about President John F. Kennedy. You've heard and seen movies everywhere. Every kind of theory about what happened, what didn't happen, where it happened, who it happened to. My mom had her own theory. But I will tell you this, one of the things I know, and I know one of the things we're going to talk about today, but there are a lot of people that in public figure that died in my mom's life, and I've never seen her cry as much as she has cried about the death of Martin Luther King, John F. Kennedy, and Marilyn Monroe. But what is it about what we don't know that still haunts us? Hey, thank you for joining us here today in the show. What do you think about what I'm saying? I mean, what do you think about my mom just bawling her eyes out for like a really long time? And is it because we don't know?
Well, John, first off, John F. Kennedy was young. He was an incredible, charismatic president who gave people a lot of hope. And so his assassination affected people greatly around the world.
Fred,
so
I want to ask you
why you're go ahead.
I want to ask you this question, Fred. I mean, underneath someone like you and someone like me, we love to do our research. Underneath there, something touched your heart to say, I need to investigate this. I need to talk about this. And more importantly, I really want to write about it. What got your attention?
It was when the Zapruder film was played on national television on the Geraldo Rivera show in 1975. And when I saw the Zapruder film and the fact that JFK's head goes back and to the left with the fatal headshot, it convinced me back then that there was a conspiracy. And it set me into motion to research exactly what had happened. And that was a long time ago. That was over 40 years ago.
Yeah. But just like many of us, we were struck by that image that will be forever embedded. And off you went on this journey, right?
I'm sorry, what?
And off you went on this journey.
Yeah, I went off this journey and basically spent 45 years of looking for the truth. And after many, many years, finally realizing that Oswald was the lone gunman, did it by himself. I wrote my first book on the case 3 years ago. And now my second book is on Jim Garrison, who is the DA who prosecuted Clay Shaw in the movie JFK.
You know, isn't it interesting what we can do with an event in our history, in our lives, and left up to our own device about what we want to believe, we will create a theory around it. I mean, I can't imagine that your journey and what you're revealing in the book, it has got to be met with various opinions. What is it that you find people want to believe? And how does your book, your discovery, say, wait a minute, there's some real data here?
People can use the JFK assassination as sort of the Rosetta Stone to explain any political viewpoint you want. If you want to blame the CIA, you can use the JFK assassination as your tool into explaining why the CIA is what it is. If you want to blame the military-industrial complex, if you want to blame Castro, if you want to blame the Russians, whoever you want to blame, whatever your pet political theory, you can use the JFK assassination to buttress your viewpoint. And the problem, so many people don't like my books, is I'm saying there's no conspiracy. All of you are wrong. Lee Harvey Oswald did it by himself. You'll have to deal with it.
So how do people find out, first of all, where your book is, how to get your book? Because you've put a lot of time and energy into this, and also how to find out more about you, Fred.
Just go to my website, www.onthetrailofdelusion.com, all one word. And you'll find reviews, where to buy my book. I have a daily blog with a lot of additional information that's not in my book. All there. It's a great website, onthetrailofdelusion.com.
I want to talk to you about one of the highlights in the book that I flagged that I really looked at. You know, my dad, as many dads, grew up with the Russian factor. And what do I mean by that? Growing up where we thought communism was going to take over the world, your parents build bunkers in their house. Even today, we still have that factor in our society. We're still looking for what role they play. But you also talk about this in your book. You talk about Russian misinformation. I think we think about it happening now, but I don't think we realize that, wait a minute, did it happen back then?
And it did. And Russian misinformation, there were like at least three different operations the Russians perpetrated to make the American population believe that the CIA was behind the assassination. In my current book, I detail the operation where they planted stories in an Italian communist newspaper after Clay Shaw was arrested to blame the CIA and to make it sound like Clay Shaw was a CIA operative. It was all false, and that story traveled from the communist press into the mainstream press in the United States and Canada.
I, too, was struck by the many movies. I definitely was struck by the Oliver Stone movie. I was also really struck by the fact that, especially coming from where I come from, a survivor of Stonewall out of the village, I was struck by the whole Clay Shaw character, a gay man. And I'm just like, how did that even get in the film? I mean, what the heck was that about? To this day, I don't understand it. But I think your book shines some light on this.
It's a very sad thing. Clay Shaw was a World War II hero. He was a great man in New Orleans, widely admired. And unfortunately, Jim Garrison accused him of conspiring to kill Kennedy and ruined his life. And what makes it worse is that Oliver Stone made Clay Shaw the villain in his movie JFK. It's absolutely despicable what they did to Clay Shaw.
I was struck by that probably more than most. You know, I talked to my friends about it and I said, my God, this is homophobia at its, homophobia at its finest, homophobia as the worst effect on our society. And I'm really struck by how quickly in this particular scenario, and by the way, this is one scenario. I believe this goes on all the time, but I was struck by how quickly we can damage an individual's life. And yet on the other hand, let those that are really guilty of something really slip by. You know, what is your hope for your book? Because it's a fascinating read, but also you really try to right some wrongs. And thank you for doing that.
Well, Jim Garrison ruined a lot of people's lives. And it shows the problem of having any public official, but a district attorney who is a conspiracy theorist is just a disaster waiting to happen. Any public official who is a conspiracy theorist is you're going to have trouble, as we well know. And so I just think that, and unfortunately in this case, there was homophobia right at the center of the case all the way through it. They're looking at gay. They went through the gay community like crazy, looking for informants, conspirators. People were scared of Garrison's investigators because they knew that the slightest visit could implicate them in something, and they could lose their job. I mean, it's just horrific. It was a reign of terror in New Orleans for the gay community.
And, you know, that's the side of this debacle that nobody really wants to talk about. And I want to ask you this question, and I just want to make this last point on this. This happens over and over and over and over in history to the gay community, just like it happens over and over and over and over again to the people of color communities. But there's no coming back from something like this. When you're targeted, when you're talked to, there are things that happen that totally ruin you. Are we still having repercussions from this investigation, from the Jim Garrison era, so to speak?
Well, we're having repercussions in that full restitution of the name of Clay Shaw has not happened.
No.
And you still have Oliver Stone out there pushing not only the movie, but he's made a new documentary series that will be coming out sometime shortly that will again push Jim Garrison as the hero who tried to solve the case. There's lessons here, and the sad fact is that not only was Clay Shaw's life ruined, but it was ruined twice, and we still don't understand just what a hero this man was. So I tried to right some wrongs. There were other people who were also deeply hurt by Jim Garrison. One man, Carlos Bringuier, his wife had a miscarriage because she was so worried that he was going to be arrested by Garrison. These are horrible stories.
I mean, we've seen this play over and over and over again. The Atlanta bomber. We have watched that gentleman get accused wrongly. And people feel like they have nothing to do. In the book On the Trail of Delusion, right? You know, Jim Garrison, the great accuser. I want to ask you this. I know this is a short interview, but I want to ask you this for people listening. What were some of the ahas even for you? Like, you know, I know you entered this like a researcher, very methodical about this. But even so, those of us that are researchers, we get to a point where we say, what? That? Do you have any of those?
Well, I think when you go through the internal Garrison documents, the memos he was writing and his staff was writing to each other, you start going through them and you said, my God, this is a crazy memo. This is just crazy. How could they believe this? Memo after memo of sheer nonsense, of craziness. It just strikes you. I started putting them aside. I collected over 150 what I considered to be utterly crazy memos. That really struck me. And what also struck me was he investigated the assassination for over 2 years and didn't find anything. He didn't find anything at all of substance. And that I find really, really striking.
I totally agree with you. And yet the argument became convincing. The destruction of people's lives were never repaired. And we continue to do things like this. What is your greatest hope for bringing this, not, it's not a message, but bringing this factual expose to the forefront?
Well, I'm hoping to show people that it's kind of fun to believe in some conspiracy theories and you could have fun and do research. But in the end, some of them can be very, very damaging. And in this case, it shows the practical damage, the real damage that was done to people's lives from people who believe in some of this nonsense.
You know what? We're living it right now, just to be honest with you right there, Fred. And we don't really realize how it happens. You know, I went through a period when I went back to school in the 90s, right? I had lost my job, went back to school. I went for a doctorate, but I went in California and I found myself in the middle of studying and my professors using O.J. Simpson trial as a case study, a really long case study. And I recall those moments where really smart people, in a room, right, studying to get a couple of letters on the back of their name, were so convinced on both sides and so believed in facts that weren't facts. What is your message, Fred, for us in search of the truth?
Well, my message is, look, really do deep research and really use reason, logic. Does it make sense what you believe in? Does this fit the facts? Is this the simplest explanation? Occam's razor, very, very important. We have to get back to understanding logic and reason so we can combat some of these extreme conspiracy claims and make sure people don't go through rabbit holes and lose their better part of their lives investigating nonsense.
I got to tell you, for those people that are just tuning in, Fred Litwin, if you read his book, it really, for me, it's a real cliffhanger as I went through it. The other thing I'm really impressed by, Fred, is that not only do you write things, but you have exhibits in here. You have memos in here. You have headlines in here. I don't even know where you got all this stuff from. You have quotes in here, literally things people have said in writing and other places. I can't even imagine how long this took you to put together. What's next? What's going to come next from Fred Litwin?
People should go to my website, www.onthetrailofdelusion.com, all one word, and you could find details of how to buy my book, my daily blog, which has a lot more information that's in my book, pictures, you name it, it's all on my blog. It's all there, www.onthetrailofdelusion.com.
And I got to tell you, out of all the books I've gotten, I've never seen a book come across my desk that had as many detailed sources and resources as you've put together in this. Fred, what's your personal message? What do you want to leave us with today?
Well, I want everybody to take the message that don't go down that rap. Don't get obsessed with conspiracy theory. That life is beautiful. There's lots of great things to do. Play the guitar. Learn a language. Do something constructive. Don't spend your time researching 9/11 conspiracy theories.
Thank you, Fred. And by the way, I know your next interview is waiting. Thank you for hanging on with me. And I'm just going to be reading parts of this from different places throughout my shows. Thank you, Fred.
Thank you very much.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.